I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your Spirit who dwells in the heart of every believer. And dear God, I know that it is your Son that was purchased for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, because of all that you have done through our Savior, we can have the Spirit in our heart. We can be sealed by the Spirit, and we can be guided by your Spirit. We can understand your word, and we can grow in the grace and knowledge of you. And I do pray that you would work all these things in our hearts and lives tonight. Pray for my dear wife, fill her with your Spirit as she teaches in the deaf ladies class there. Miss Pat in the nursery as she cares for the children. Fill with thy Spirit, dear God. And once again, by your word, by your Spirit, for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord, would you work in our hearts and draw us closer to you? God, would we not leave here the same as we came? Might we be in some way, dear God, drawn to be more like your image, more like your Son? And Father, help us to be the lighthouse that this place needs. And to those who are in with our own personal realm, to be the light to them whom they need to see. And so, Father, we pray, we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Dennis has a list back there with trying to put together names and addresses of everyone and going to build a church roll and get that where it needs to be and such. So you can look at that back there and add any information, you know, that might be missing, or correct anything that may be corrected. If you would do that, we would greatly appreciate that. Amen. All right. So we're talking about presenting our body, the living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And I mentioned that this is going to have so much more force when we consider I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. We saw this past study, and we considered so many of those mercies spoken about through the book of Romans, the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ in our behalf in Romans 3 there. Also, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ, his imputed righteousness. Another part of that grace. The surety of the promise, because God made it by faith, it can be sure. It's our faith is that we put our trust in him. And once we've done that, it's in his hands, and so it can't be messed up. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And so through faith, by grace through faith, he has made that promise sure. To all the seed. That, of course, is the promise of eternal life. The association with Christ in his death and resurrection. Also, being predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans chapter 8. All these wonderful graces that we see. And so these compel us to... are these mercies and such that we see these compel us to that we ought to give our surrender I was listening to a message as I was exercising today, and actually earlier in the week, and someone was talking about preaching in a foreign place, and I forget where it was, anyway, he noted the difference that sometimes in America here we talk about being committed to God. He said, but being committed sounds like we have something to add to it. He said, he noticed where he was listening to the foreign preachers, they're talking about being surrendered. That's more fitting, isn't it? Really, we really have nothing to add to God. Anything that we have is given us. And he gives us gifts through the Holy Spirit. We'll get to there in chapter 12 here eventually. But we need to surrender. The living sacrifice, God, you work through me. You do what you want to do through me and perform those things that you want to perform through me. And then the Apostle Paul also says here, he says, for I say, verse 3, through the grace given unto me. Through the grace given unto me. Now, that little phrase there, we might just fly right on by that. What wonderful mercies compel us to surrender as a living sacrifice to God. But then Paul says, through the grace given unto me. And I tell you, we're going to take a few moments, may not get any farther than that tonight, just talking about what is the grace given unto Paul? And what is he talking about there? Well, it's the very grace of the fact that, what? He was called by Christ. By the way, we are Gentiles, aren't we? And he is who? He's the apostle to the Gentiles. He's our apostle, okay? And that grace has been given unto him. We remember that miraculous calling on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them down to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came to near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who's that? That's Jesus speaking. And he said, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The very Lord Jesus Christ himself called the Apostle Paul, and the very calling by Christ, this grace given to the Apostle Paul. And then this grace is verified through a faithful disciple, what? By the name of Ananias. Paul is headed to Damascus, and God, you know, it seems, doesn't perhaps give Paul all the information there. God's going to give him the information through who? Through somebody else. Through somebody who's a faithful disciple and a faithful Christian there in Damascus. You'd find that in Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And you remember Ananias says, well, wait a minute, I've heard about this guy. You know, he's been hunting down Christians, and I'm not sure that, you know, are you sure I need to be doing this, Lord? He's kind of what he's saying there. And he can bind those that call upon thy name. But then Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, put his hands on him, Brother Saul, Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. So he uses this faithful disciple, Ananias. So I'm going to read Acts chapter 22 and verses 11 and 12. In Acts 22, Paul is recounting how he got saved and how God called him. So I'm going to read Acts 22, verses 11 and 12, Brother Charles.
And when I could see, not see for the glory of that light.
Acts 22, 11 and 12.
Yep, and when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there.
A devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews. Here's a faithful believer. And God is what? He is verifying the apostle, the call. Not only comes to him, but others know about that as well. And he verifies that through Ananias. He doesn't stop there. We find Paul ministering later at the church. It is Antioch, just north a bit of Jerusalem there. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Someone want to read that? Acts 13, 2. Brother Brian?
As I ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called.
There's the Holy Ghost speaking out through the church. Barnabas and Saul. Ananias says, Saul, go. Jesus says, Saul, go. Think about this grace that is on the Apostle Paul. He visits the church at Jerusalem in Galatians chapter 2. And someone want to read Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Galatians 2, 7 through 9, Brother Austin. They perceived that grace that had been given unto him. This man's been called to the apostle of the Gentiles. You see, when a church calls a pastor or when deacons are ordained and those things, they're not gifted because of the ordination. They are called and put into position because the Holy Spirit bears witness of those gifts to others through the church. And that's what we see happening with the apostle Paul here, time and again. Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. I'm writing this letter of Romans to the Gentiles, so I'm magnifying. I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. Look at I speak according to the grace that was given unto me. In 2 Corinthians 11:5, Paul wrote this, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of the apostles. Then he went on to say, of course, though I be nothing. And this grace that was bestowed upon the apostle Paul, that's the one speaking. That's the one telling us, I beseech you, to surrender. And it doesn't stop there. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Someone read that if you're there, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Lindsay? Patience, science, endurance. Boy, he knew what patience was, didn't he? Wonders and signs and mighty deeds. What grace, according to the grace it's bestowed upon me, the apostle Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Someone want to read that one? 1 Corinthians 3:10. Anna?
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Amen. Indeed, he's a wise master builder. Amen. And apostle to the Gentiles. And in all these recognizing these gifts upon him. What about his Christian life and witness and serving? Oh my goodness. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 21 and following. He says they were beginning, and remember we saw in our study in Corinthians, they're kind of proud there, and they were exalting people rather than God and lifting up people. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11, 21, I speak concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are the Israelites? So am I. Are the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths of the Jews 5 times receive I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beat with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Wow. This is the one. This is the one that's telling us, I beseech you, according to the grace that's given unto me. By the way, how did he endure all those things? 1 Corinthians 15, 10. Someone want to read that? 1 Corinthians 15, 10. Stephanie?
That by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God.
Yeah, it's that grace he's talking about. According to that grace, according to all this grace, is what I want. According to all God's mercy and all the grace he's bestowed upon me, I want this to move the church, to each one to give themselves a living sacrifice. But what he's really saying is, I want you to do as I've done. God hasn't let me down. God has shown himself mighty through me, the Apostle Paul saying. And considering what he went through, what reason do we have to doubt God? We have not. And so Paul urges them to submit their bodies a living sacrifice. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, after he straightens them out on false doctrine, they were starting to think that keeping the law made you spiritual and even maybe got you saved, and such some of them were. And Paul corrected them on that. And then he said in Galatians 6, 17, he says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The marks of the Lord Jesus. Wow! I mean, that's the one. That's what he's talking about. Could you imagine the marks that he must have bore in his body? And that's the one that's telling us these things. I think about the old covenant. I think about Moses, God's representative for that covenant, and how God swiftly defended him. In Numbers chapter 12, we read about that. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek. The Holy Spirit put that in there. The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they came out. Come out, right now. I'm going to meet you at the tabernacle. They're speaking against Moses. And what's he say? And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." Moses cried to the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee, I beg thee. Sounds familiar, don't it? What did Paul just say? I beseech thee that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut up out from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received in again. Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. She was shut out of the camp. Do you see how serious God took listening to his servants? And by the way, we have a what? We do well that we take heed to this covenant, amen? Because when God spoke to us through Moses, to this covenant, he spoke to us through who? Through his son, Hebrews says. And by the way, his son picked apostles. And his son picked an apostle to the Gentiles. And his name is the Apostle Paul. And he is the one who is so humbly. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, but Paul wasn't alive then. I bet Paul would be a close contestant if they were both living on the earth at the same time. He also was a man that was meek. He also was surrendered totally to God. He also begged that God's people would walk with God. And so God reminds us about his servant. It's his servant that's telling us these things. And that is telling us to submit to him and to glorify his name by surrendering to him. Then I'll go on here. I don't think we'll go any further tonight, but it's in the context we see of the local church. He goes on talking about the gifts that we are given here in verse 3, the measure of faith. You see down there in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body," what? "And all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another." He's talking about giving ourselves as we labor together in this body. And as we would endeavor to do what God would call us to do. So may the thought and the meditations of God's mercies and the meditations of the grace bestowed upon the Apostle Paul, when both of those are put together, as a force behind the reason why we ought to, and then with all that force, what? And yet Paul doesn't command it. What does he do? He begs us. He begs us. That ought to add more force, to it, because God's grace. He begs us. He compels us with pleading, even though certainly. By the way, we can take God's pleading as a command, amen? And we just need to do that and recognize that that we want to do things by love for Christ, even as he did those things by love for us. As the Apostle Paul said, what? Oh, he did all those things. He said that what? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. I want to know Jesus Christ more and more and more. That ought to be your case and my case. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word tonight. And I do thank you for the mercies that you have shown. Oh God, Paul wrote later on, "The love of Christ constraineth us." It is that which is to compel us to do these things that you've called us to do. You've enabled us by your Holy Spirit. And then, dear God, you chose one, even the Apostle Paul. and bestowed so much grace upon him. Oh God, might we remember when we hear that word grace, might we think of strength, because it is the strength that we need. Grace is our strength. We are to come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so, Father, you compel us by that grace, by that help, by the love that you've shown, and by the help and the calling that you've given, and the help that you're able to give every step of the way. You call us into that place of complete surrender to you, and to listen and to search out just exactly how it is you would have us to minister in the body of Christ and as witnesses for you. Father, we thank you and praise you, and help us as we would learn to yield to you more. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.